used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 335. The usual crew is back. Less Adam, because I think Adam, I don't know. I don't even know if he's alive anymore.
Yeah, he's alive.
Okay. Got a job.
He did get a job. Look out. So we won't be seeing him around here no more. He'll see how rough it is when he has to start paying for his comic books. So. But I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Spencer.
That's everybody. Oh, Pat's sliding up. He wants to get closer.
Well.
More intimate.
I don't know about that.
Ooh, nice.
Let me pull out again.
See what you started? See what you started?
I've been behaved so far on the podcast.
Okay. On the podcast.
On the podcast, yes. Not in the pre-show.
I'm sitting here reading the previews catalog. That's it. I asked one innocent question.
Not so innocent.
What question was that?
It's not my fault that you guys took it a certain way.
Dave was very insulted.
So, when I heard about this Star Trek versus Transformers comic, I really didn't care about it, but this cover does kind of draw me in.
Oh, my.
Tim, can you put Josh down for Trek versus Transformers?
Don't listen to him, Tim.
That catalog's not even in your system yet.
This one is.
Oh, it is?
Once it's on the shelf, it's in the system.
Yep.
Although, don't we, we normally get like a notification saying a new catalog's been uploaded.
That's when I send you guys the notification. Yeah.
I just didn't. I thought that that's when it was uploaded.
No, I think it's already in there. I just have to remember to do it. So, I just got to do it. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll take care of it. Because, I finished the previews order. Yay! Normally, I'm doing it Thursday night, so I was really happy that I finished it Monday.
GoBots,
yeah. I even have BroBots. I'm interested in BroBots.
BroBots? What's a BroBot?
These chairs don't slide.
No, not on the carpet. Those chairs most definitely do not slide.
Do you know what BroBots are?
I have no idea what BroBots are.
BroBots in the Shuijo shenanigans.
There you go.
Shuijo. They're brothers. They're robots. They're the heroic robots.
Okay.
I watch BattleBots. Does that count?
I watch BattleBots.
I love BattleBots. But yeah, so I've just you go bots. I went BroBots.
Well, see? You raised my GoBots.
There you go. Just yeah. So, news. Russ Heath died. 91. He kind of was made mostly famous by Lichtenstein. Is that the right name? The guy who did the pop art stuff where he kind of stole some art and repurposed it, some comic panels, most notably an airplane going, and that was a Russ Heath page.
I think so.
Yeah. But, yeah, tons of the old war and Western comics. Somebody pointed out the Roman army men ad on the back of all those great 70s books, that was him.
Yeah.
But yeah, 91, so that's a pretty good run. I'm just saying. Your book, because it's all sticky? Look at all the black that IDW uses. That's the problem. You know, and it is the finest quality printing on those previews magazines, so.
Oh, I know.
It's not just that, though. You can look at the DC insert. That all sticks together, too.
Ooh, December. Ooh, Rocketeer.
Ooh, nice.
I like that teaser.
Rocketeer. I like that teaser saying December as opposed to some of those the figures in the back. Where it's just, it has an ad in there, but then the product's not in the catalog, and you can't find it. It's maddening.
No price, no date. Yeah. Just like, hey, look what we're going to make at some point.
Yeah, because I have people, I want to order this. I'm like, I can't find it anywhere. Yeah, I love those. Those are maddening. But that's good. That works.
Great helmet. So iconic.
Jeez.
I don't know about any other news. I didn't get
the I didn't really see much in the way of big news.
I feel like I'm so behind on everything.
Yeah.
I saw Marvel announce the creative team for their Conan.
Yeah, Aaron, Jason Aaron and Mahmoud Azrar. Conan's never sold. You know, I don't think I've ever sold 5 copies of an issue of Conan, so it's hard to get excited about that. Jason Aaron, yeah, definitely a big name at Marvel, but it's really kind of a niche thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they have him have a crossover with the Avengers.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, Thor Conan crossover. That'd be yeah.
With the
That wasn't a happy face I made. So.
I thought you were excited about that.
No. Because they'd have to order 400% of Thor to be able to order the cover and blah blah blah. Sorry.
Just Marvel order one Thor the month before.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't work that way, sadly. Because it wouldn't be tied to Thor. That issue would be tied to number one.
Has DC been doing more of that crap too?
Nope.
No?
Nope. They did it for, like, I think it was Justice League, just one of the covers on Justice League 1, or was it... Yeah, I think it was Justice League 1. But, yeah, I think they got told no. Oh, DC shut down comments on their Facebook page. That was a big news thing.
Why?
Apparently somebody was leaking stuff from the forum directly to Bleeding Cool, and the powers that be decided, okay, well, that's enough of that, and now it's just going to be, here's our covers, here's this. So that was a little disappointing. Only because the reason it was disappointing was it was the, you know, retailers asking questions and DC answering and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was stuff that I wouldn't necessarily think to ask. So it was a lot of good information. But now basically all that's gone, which was disappointing.
So do you get mad at DC or the person that ruined
it? No, I don't know who ruined it. But I understand DC, but it is disappointing. It's like, you know, punishing everybody for the acts of one person. Why don't you just punish that person? But
how does shutting down the comments section prevent people from still spreading rumors?
Well, I think they're going to be a lot less free with the information they give us, too. So, yeah, it was a real nice conversation, but I guess it took up a lot of time that they didn't see, but I don't know.
It'll come back around. I feel like those sorts of things are cyclical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, people will complain.
They're like, well, you can always email us. It's like, well, okay, but a lot of times it wasn't the question. Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
Oh yeah, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, so that was disappointing.
But it would also seem like, why would they want to answer the same question 50 times?
Right.
Let it be asked once in the forum,
right,
and you're good.
So we'll see what happens. But yeah. So yeah.
What was the news that leaked?
I don't know. This was just another retailer saying, no, it wasn't Batman 50 complaining. It was other things, so I don't know. But, yeah, just, you know, it's one of those, you know, what was said in there was meant to stay in there. And I don't know, because I can't look at Bleeding Cool anymore, so I don't know what was said. Just because the pop-up ads and stuff, it's ridiculous.
You mean they don't have to, like, burn a picture of Batman and, you know, say if you ever tell, then...
Yeah. No, there was nothing like that.
Once you get an ad blocker plugin, Bleeding Cool becomes much more.
Does it? Okay. I'll have to look into that.
I personally use uBlock, and it's worked out very nicely. Available in your browser of choice. Proud sponsor of the Pittsburgh Comics Podcast.
That'd be nice. Nice to have any sponsors.
Wouldn't it? It would be nice. So if you're listening out there, you have a product you want us to hustle for you,
we'll do it.
We'll sponsor.
We're cheap.
We're whores. Yeah.
Don't talk about Dave like that.
I'm talking about all of us. I'm a whore. I'll admit it. But just because you're a whore doesn't mean you have to be a cheap whore.
Well, he has standards.
Right.
They're fair low, enough. But they're higher.
Isn't that nice?
So. I can't think of any other news. No, it's been a little quiet.
Alec Baldwin was going to play.
Oh, he's
going to
be in the Joker?
Well, no.
Yeah.
He's already come out and said, no, I'm not going to be in that movie anymore.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah. So,
I saw that today, too, yeah.
That was fast.
What would Thomas Wayne be doing in a Joker movie?
True.
Who's supposed to be playing?
He was supposed to be playing Thomas Wayne.
Alec Baldwin was?
Yeah.
Okay. The only way I want to see Thomas Wayne in a Joker movie is if it is a Flashpoint.
Yes.
Version.
Yeah.
And Martha is the Joker.
Oh, spoiler. What, a 13-year-old book?
No, 2011.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was right before New 52. Secret code between you and Tim there?
Yeah, turn off the light.
The party's over.
You don't have to go home. Get the hell out of here.
That's right.
Oh, we do have a question.
Questions?
We have a question. Okay. From Jay Ludwig. I believe it's Josh, but I apologize. I don't know. It's just always Jay Ludwig.
They said, I believe it's for Josh.
No. But it says, really? We've already talked ad nauseum about who's stronger, Thor versus Hulk, who is faster, Superman or Flash. But this is a Dave-specific question.
Whoa.
Damn. Oh, that's exciting.
Okay. No. You'll understand.
Okay.
Who could eat more hamburgers, Wimpy or Jughead?
Oh, man.
See the gears turning? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Smoke's out of his ears.
I'm going to say Wimpy has the bigger capacity, but I think Jughead might have the higher metabolism. So
I agree with that.
But
that doesn't help you in the moment, though, does it?
Yeah, that's kind of...
Right.
And Wimpy has had years of practice.
We need a Wimpy versus Jughead comic to figure this out.
Actually, you know what, though? Come to think of it, Wimpy's thing was always, I'll gladly pay you Thursday for a hamburger today. We never actually see him eating the hamburgers. He may be hungry and not actually eating them, or we know Jughead's eating them.
Maybe he doesn't eat them on Tuesday, when Jughead could eat them every day. I don't know. That's a good question.
My vote is Jughead.
My vote's Jughead, too.
Yeah.
He definitely has the higher metabolism. He's a skinny string bean, despite everything he eats.
Okay. With arteries so clogged.
Would you consider yourself the Jughead of the podcast?
Sure, why not?
I'm definitely more the Wimpy. So
yeah. No, is that a classic Jughead or a new Riverdale Jughead?
What's that?
Say, classic Jughead or Riverdale Jughead?
Oh, definitely not Riverdale Jughead.
Why, what's...
Yeah, hooking up with Betty, that doesn't make sense.
Jughead hooked up with Betty.
Good for him.
Jughead.
Yep.
And he's in the Serpents gang. He leads the gang.
So why do you guys not want to be the Riverdale Jughead? He sounds awesome.
I know, but that's not me.
Could be.
Dave, it could be you.
Dave would never join the Southside Circle.
You go out and you find yourself your Betty Cooper.
I've been trying to find myself for 50 years.
You go find a Betty Cooper of your own.
See, you start leading a gang, and then you have the power. And the women are attracted to you.
I'll give you an update next week on my gang. I gotta start
recruiting.
Bye,
Tim.
I gotta start recruiting.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No, that was the only question we received.
Thank you.
Is he doing all the covers for Batgirl, Sean Murphy?
For a while, yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that nice? Yes. I think you should get that. New creative team. Awesome new covers.
You go drop Titans and pick that up.
I'm dropping.
It's balance.
Dropping bad.
Have to maintain balance.
Drops bad.
You did just kind of...
That's not very... I mean, he could have been like that.
True.
Well, I mean, he kind of did. He dropped like half of his books, right?
Not half, no. No, I
still have to
drop
balance to the universe.
Still have to drop ones that I... I didn't drop them, but as the Young Animal ones have ended...
You haven't
picked up. So it's naturally, yeah. So my list
natural attrition.
Yeah, my list is dropped down, but not because of any extreme measures. I'm happy about that. Those books came to a nice end. They were nice miniseries. I actually think the miniseries were were better than the.
You know, I'm laughing. We've been watching a lot of Fixer Upper. It just takes place down in Waco, Texas, and the guy always...
Chip and Joanna.
Yeah, yeah, and Chip always goes, okay, Yinz's budget is... And he's, like, trying to get away from saying Yinz's guys.
Yeah.
And he keeps saying that every episode, Yinz's guys. Or Yuz's guys, you know, just the way he says it. So when you started with that, that's just why I laughed.
It's one of those shows you could always turn on and watch.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what.
Oh, it's a delight. It's a delight. We've actually... We started with season one. And just kind of, you know, we'll catch it whenever it's on.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing else on, but we're making a point of walking, going through each episode. So, yeah. No, we like Chip and Joanna a lot. But one thing that bugs me about it is she's beautifully, why doesn't she stage the house with their own furniture? So, like, she stages it with all the stuff, and then they clean out everything out of the house, and then they have to move their own stuff in. Just always, I found it odd that they, why not put their own bedroom set in the bedroom?
Like the people that are moving in?
Yeah.
Well, because it's also supposed to be a surprise at the end, so they couldn't really take all their stuff out of their house and stage it.
Well, they know what, you know, so it's like, oh, this is so beautiful, but everything that's in here is gone.
They're still living in their previous home up to that point.
Well, right. But just, it struck me odd as like, oh, you know, this bedroom is so beautiful. Yeah, but when you get it, none of the stuff that you, looks beautiful is going to be in it. So.
Yeah.
That just struck me as odd. That was all.
They don't keep any of the furniture?
I don't think so, no. Other than the one piece that Clint makes for
them. You do have, like, the way this show works down to a science.
Well, I looked up...
I didn't realize that guy's name was Clint.
Oh, Clint. Well, she always... That's his name.
Never stuck with me. But you're right. He does always make one nice
thing. She normally has him make one nice piece.
It's sort of like a nice table or something, like a nice dining table.
Yep. But it just, it just struck me odd that, you know, all this, you know, things that some make it look so beautiful. And then I looked it up. It says, do they get to keep that?
I'll have to pay attention next time whenever they do the, like, cause they do the reveal, and then they show, like, a few months later after they've been living in the space a little bit.
Right,
I'll have to pay attention to see if there's any of that furniture in there.
So, but, because I looked it up, and it says, no, they're allowed to buy it if they like it and want it. But, because I'm like, they only spent, you know, $30,000 on the remodel, yet they have all new furniture, all new kitchen appliances.
It's like, I wonder, because one episode I saw, they... found the guy was a bicyclist, so they found like this old vintage bike and hung it on the wall in his office. Right. So I wonder if that was something
that might be something they would have left for him, that was a gift. But like the sofas and the beds and the, you know, dressers and everything, that's all.
He spent so much time staging it too.
I know. And then they just pull it all back out. So I found that odd.
It's a TV show,
right? Oh, I know.
It's a reality show, Pat. It's all real.
Oh yeah.
It's like light over there, pitch black over there.
Yeah, dark sky just said rain starting soon in Canonsburg, PA.
There we go. Yeah, I mean, that's dark, dark, dark.
The wind's going too. Look at that tree.
Are the lights on out there? Up top?
Yeah.
Okay.
We should do a Fixer Upper podcast.
There you go. Oh, absolutely. I'm enjoying it very much. I'm watching a lot of the home remodeling things.
For ideas?
Yeah, no, not really, because I don't have anything I need to do other than refinish the wood floors, but I'm not doing that.
If you start to do a project and it doesn't go the way you hoped, then watch DIY Nightmares.
Okay.
And then you feel a lot better about yourself.
Okay.
Renovation realities.
Okay, I started watching, people are loving this. I started watching Zombie House Flippers, because one, just the title, but it's old foreclosures that had been abandoned. You know, it's like the blight on the neighborhood, so they... take those, and like, some of them have just been, I mean, just god-awful. But, you know, with a little bit of money, you can do anything, pretty much. That's what I'm learning.
Flipper Flop got a lot more interesting when you found out that she left the guy for one of the contractors, and then he got a gun and, like, walked out in the woods with the gun by himself.
I watched some of those, but I couldn't take her showing up with fake eyelashes and everything for demo. It's just like, I'm looking, just going, no, you're just, you know, so fake. It's like, I don't even want to listen to what you say. So, I don't care for her, so. No, not picking a side on the divorce, just, she's just a little much.
You picked his side.
I did. but, what I'm really liking is the Desert Flippers, those two. But I think because they're from Milwaukee and they have a little accent.
Oh, I haven't watched that one.
That just makes me naturally kind of drawn to them. It's only a half hour one, too.
Yeah.
But,
I was watching a lot of those shows for a while, but then the show I always go back to is not on HGTV, but American Pickers.
Yeah.
On History Channel. Like, that's always my go-to show.
Okay.
My dad watches it every single day. I'm sick of it.
I love it. I want to find my... Because I'll be frank, obviously. So I want to find my mic and just get in a van and go.
Yeah, I've just seen too much of it.
My problem with it is Frank always reminded me of John Customer John.
I can see that, definitely.
And the other guy reminds me of Todd. So just watching it... And then when you find out everything's seated, it's
I'm less never gonna exciting. Be able. When did you find out everything is seated?
One of those.
Really?
Things, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it!
I was at my parents' house. My dad had it on.
Sorry.
And they found comic books. First appearance of Darkseid. And it said on there that Darkseid's appearance was based on an actor.
Oh, really?
If you want to guess, or I'll just tell you.
Jack
Plants.
Okay.
Really?
Okay, I can see that. I can see that.
That's what it said. I don't know what their source is.
Holy cow, that is like the cloud of death out there. That is just plain scary.
Based on Jack Palance, wow.
It's like a nice medium blue sky, and there's just this black moving from left to right, or right to left here.
It's Jack Palance.
I forget what
one-arm push-ups.
I forget what the book was.
Josh
Darkseid's first appearance.
Death Eater Mark.
Thanks. Yeah, sorry, not trying to scare you, Dave, but doom is coming.
Here comes Darkseid.
Darkseid is.
Yeah.
Someone's
opening the Ark of the Covenant.
No, you'll be okay. Just close your eyes.
Yes. Well, don't look at it, Dave.
We have top men working on it.
Top men.
Well, speaking of...
home improvement shows.
Any other comic stuff we want to talk about?
What issue? What book? What book was the first appearance of Darkseid?
Wouldn't have a clue. Okay.
Anybody? I know Dave knows. I don't know the issue number off the top of my head. I can guess, but...
My guess would be some sort of New Gods book, right?
Jimmy Olsen.
Correct.
Really?
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that.
Yep. Yeah, it was an issue of Jimmy Olsen because that was the first thing he was doing when he came over to DC, which is so funny. So they get the greatest artist out there and they put him on their worst book and then redrew his Superman heads because it didn't look like the way DC wanted him to look. DC did not treat him well.
No one did?
No. It was his birthday yesterday, 101st.
Yeah, DC didn't treat him well. Marvel didn't really treat him well.
Yeah.
They were all just like dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Well, but they were. I mean, they were just contract performers.
I think for DC it was a big get, but then the editors and everybody didn't want anything to do with it.
So, like, the higher-ups at DC, I think, wanted to be able to say, look who we got.
Right.
The people that were more in the trenches at DC wanted to say, we're doing just fine without this guy. This guy's Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but I gotta, you know... Back then, was it a big get? Is it like today, Bleeding Cool, which, oh my God, DC got Jack Kirby, but...
Well, I think, they certainly treated it big, like Kirby's here, but then, you put him on Jimmy Olsen, yeah.
They didn't want to kick anybody off a buck.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, the same thing's going on right now with Bendis. I mean, DC didn't treat Bendis poorly, but I don't think it has been as earth-shattering as they had hoped it would be.
No, it wasn't, yeah.
And I enjoyed the books, like the Superman in action books he's on are really good, but yeah, it's nothing...
It's not a defining moment.
Well, but they also put Geoff Johns on books that are not doing well just so he can turn them around. They put,
But those books were doing well, though.
Well, but...
Yeah, Superman in action.
But, Jimmy Olsen... I'm just saying, so taking your top talent and put them on a book that doesn't perform is not a bad idea.
Yeah, but if you look more in the history of that, they didn't do that because they thought it turned the book around.
No, I get that, but I mean,
there was a lot of...
It's a practice, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. Because he didn't stay with DC that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they canceled all his New God stuff.
Yeah.
And then he went back to Marvel. Did Eternals and Captain America and Falcon. Yeah.
Oh
Okay.
We're not going to make it home tonight.
Yep, we're sleeping in the store. Oh, and they got the comfy chairs. Damn it.
I mean, we could take them.
Well, you might be able to take
that's
days.
A scrapper. I think Betty fights dirty.
I think Pat and I would both fight dirty. I don't know if you would. Dave, you're a nice guy.
No, Dave and I would be like, no, you have the chair. No, you have the chair.
Pat and I, is he trying to punch the nuts or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Somebody definitely... I may not sleep on the chair, but whoever does,
is
better not
be
fall asleep.
Be
comfortable. And on that note...
who read something? Pat, what did you read?
Well, we'll start with Punisher.
I read Punisher.
So I thought it was okay.
Yep.
Kind of, well...
I think Frank was kind of the saint of killers in that book. Nothing stopped him.
That's very typical of Punisher.
It is,
though.
But I mean, just like he just kept... You know, he's in a truck. Oh, they blow up the truck. Oh, he gets up keeps walking after him. He's on top of the car. They swerve. He falls off. He keeps coming. You know, it was just
Jason
one of those...
Voorhees.
Right. He just... nothing stopped him. Not that I would expect it to, but...
No, it would be a very short book otherwise.
Right.
If the Punisher was realistic, it would not have gone as many...
Yeah, except he got a fun gun along the way. He kind of enjoyed that plasma rifle or whatever it was.
Yeah. And then the magic bullet...
Blowed up people real good.
The,
That was weird. Yeah.
So... I mean, I didn't read Secret Wars or whatever it was where he went all Hydra.
That was Civil War. No. Was that Civil
Secret
War?
Wars.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, maybe it was Civil
no,
War.
No, not Secret Wars.
Civil
well,
War.
What was the last
Alexis
one?
Secret Empire.
Yeah. There we go. I'm like, Secret Empire. Wars, that was the Hickman thing.
Whatever.
Can't keep our Marvel events.
But when was Mandarin part of Hydra?
None.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't get.
I didn't even know he was around.
Okay. I said that's not the cover. That's the cover that Stepan Sejic did for this. Another thing. It's
Brony.
Sorry. Bronies.
Well, this Justice League Odyssey had that weird situation where he had done what was like four issues. And then they suddenly canned the issues and said they had to redo them.
Oh, really? Is that what happened? So
yeah.
Sedgwick's off. Okay.
He was still on it, but apparently he was pretty pissed off about it. And where he was going to be on the book ongoing, I think, decided just to leave after a couple issues.
No, I had no idea.
He had talked about it a bit on Twitter, not saying anything bad, but the rumors were that he was pretty angry about the whole thing because he had already drawn everything.
Okay.
And it's kind of interesting now that issue 3, suddenly he's not on art at all. Sorry, I was just surprised I saw that cover.
Yeah, so, you know, the Punisher actually takes out a named person. He takes out the Mandarin. Which apparently is now going to start a war between Hydra and everybody else. It was okay. It was a Punisher story. But it wasn't a great Punisher story.
Did they mention anything from the last series with, like, the War Machine armor or anything like that? Or they already kind of just...
There was a scene at the end of the book where Black Widow was there. And if you remember from the last, she was the one that helped him escape.
Yeah.
But they didn't really delve into what happened. The cover of the book, he looked a lot like Dolph Lundgren, but the inside was not drawn that way. Detective.
I read Detective.
I really liked it.
So did I.
I like the idea of Black Lightning leading the Outsiders. I like how. You know, he stood up to Batman, and I think that was part of what Bruce wanted. was for him to take the reins and basically say, if I'm here to lead, let me lead. But I liked how Bruce was able to defeat Karma. If Karma can read his thoughts, he's just going to unleash everything at once. All the evil thoughts he had.
The only book in this catalog so far that has, like, little review things mm-hmm. at the top of it.
The Heroes in Crisis?
No, the Superman number 5. It's the only book so far in the DC Previews catalog I've seen that has, like, actual, like, reviewer comments at the top of it. It just kind of funny, almost like they're trying to, you know, convince me, like, hey, no, this is good. You should check it out.
No, really. We did a good job with this.
I thought Black Lightning was handled really well. And he definitely felt like the leader of that group at the end there. I like how he handled the whole, you know, where Bruce wants to go off and do this probably dumb thing on his own just to prove a point. And the way Black Lightning handled, like, you know, don't really think it's the best idea, but I get where he's coming from, and I get why he has to do it, so we're just going to let him do it. I thought it was neat to say that he's going to be the leader of the Outsiders at the end. The little thing with Superman showing up at the very end of it, like,
yeah.
You know.
Work with him, but don't become him.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was good. I thought this was a really good arc. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
And just it makes me look forward to the Outsider book that they've been talking about. Like, I don't know when it's supposed to come out, but I'm looking forward to it.
I agree.
And the last thing I'll talk about is Quantum and Woody.
I did not read it yet, but feel free to talk about it.
Okay. I was hoping you did read it, because I don't remember everything that happened.
No, I didn't even start reading my books from the previous week until Sunday.
Okay.
Because it's been so hectic.
Yeah.
And I started reading these books last night. I don't think I read like 3 or 4.
Okay. Well, they're back from the Otherverse, and Quantum is somehow been married to this woman for 10 years, who had never existed in their normal timeline, but now she does. And so, I don't know how this happened, but a meteor hits the Earth, but it's not really a meteor. There's a giant kaiju monster comes out. And
that again?
Yep. And is attacking, and it's, you know, flooding the city. So, you know, Quantum's like, oh, I'm going to go save my wife, and he tells Woody, go save the goat. Woody's in therapy. They don't have their bracelets anymore.
But they have powers, though.
They do, but their powers only work when they're apart. Separate.
Yeah, it's a twist on it.
Yeah, so it was fine. I don't know. Like, it's a fun book,
yeah.
But there's not much to it. You know, it's not a deep story or anything like that. It's just, you know, a fun book.
Yeah, it never gets super deep. It's almost more of just like a zany kind of kind of book.
Yeah, because you weren't, like, you didn't, did you read the end of Bloodshot Salvation?
Yeah.
Like, that was really good.
Yeah, now that's a whole different beast, though. But, it was really good. But that was
like a deep
Jeff
story.
Lemire, like, building up this big emotional.
I saw
on
the last page that Lemire thanked Warren Simons on the last page. That was neat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Dinesh shared that.
Yeah. I think we talked about that on the podcast.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I thought that was last week when you weren't here.
No, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
2 weeks. But yeah, no, that's definitely. That book was all, like, deep character building and emotion.
Yeah. Who wants to go next?
Dave.
Black
Pressure's
Hammer.
On. Pressure's on.
Black Hammer.
I would have thought he said Archie.
No Archies this week.
Wow.
Black Hammer, Age of Doom, number 4. We finally get some revelations, some explanations in this issue as to where this farm is that they've been stranded.
Okay.
Since the first series 2 years ago. I won't give too much away, though. In this issue, Lucy Weber, she's the new Black Hammer, the daughter of Black Hammer, arrives back in the back at the farm from Dreamland, and she's met by Madame Dragonfly and Colonel Weird, and they're behind some of what's going on. And Golden Gale finds out that they're behind it too. From Talkie Walkie gives her some information. He's kind of all messed up and broken. And then you get an end to the series. It opens up more questions than answers. And it's a great end, a great cliffhanger. And opens up a hole. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
I can't wait for the explanation. But it's really good.
Cool.
Next, Daredevil.
Okay.
607.
Continuing with Mike Murdock.
The return, the real Mike Murdock, apparently. But it starts at the bar with no name, and Daredevil meets Mike Murdock, and Matt goes through some exposition about how he invented the alias Mike Murdock and said he was Daredevil and how difficult of a time he had juggling all these different aliases. And then there's a fight. Some of the D-list villains show up at this bar. White Rabbit, Speed Demon, and Trapster. And then I won't give this away either, but we do get an explanation for who this Mike Murdock is. And before Daredevil and his inhuman buddies who are investigating Mayor Fisk can catch up with him, he's at Foggy's. Mike Murdock's at Foggy's and with a gun to Foggy.
What?
Yeah. So
BS.
Poor Foggy.
So, yeah, it's kind of interesting, this Mike Murdock thing, and what they're doing with him. So we'll see what happens next time. Royal City, number 14.
Uh-oh.
Final issue.
Sad. Oh, okay. I was hoping you didn't hate the last issue.
Oh, I know. I loved it. I hate that the book ended after 14 issues.
Yeah. But it was satisfying. It was more upbeat of an ending than I
and Zach Thompson
than I kind of thought it would be.
Okay, good. I love the cover where it had all the family members on the front and then the one deceased kid on the back cover.
Yeah,
it was really tough because the variant cover for that was two variants.
Two.
That's right. Emmy Lennox and I forget who did the other one.
Ray Fox.
Ray Fox. Yeah, right. But yeah, the main cover was really cool. No, I really love the series. This was a great slice of life series. I could have kept reading this about this family for quite a while.
So they all died at the end. Machine Gun just mowed.
Everyone ended on a really good place.
They all kind of made peace.
Okay.
With Tommy.
Like when I read the first issue of it, I thought, "Oh, there's some sort of like weird supernatural
thing
going on here."
That's what I thought too.
It was more just about kind of closure. And when the book ended, they all kind of got closure with where they were at in their lives and accepted where they're at in their lives and are moving forward. And they don't need this, memory, but they don't need this crutch of like, having their deceased brother there, you know, with them anymore.
Yeah, that's the final scene with all the different versions of Tommy and the lake. Just unbelievable. Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, this hack writer keeps doing books you guys are talking about. I don't get it.
My favorite writer in comics. He's the best.
There was an ad for a new series. I don't know if you saw that on the last page with Phil Hester.
Yeah, that...
I forget what it's called now.
It's something trees or whatever.
Family Spencer, tree. It's right behind you. Turn the other way. Royal City?
Oh, at the bottom. Spencer. Oh. I don't know if...
Nope, Royal City.
City.
Oh.
Close, though.
Can't expect them to know words.
I know.
It's a visual medium.
Yeah.
Family tree.
Family tree.
Family tree, okay.
That's all we needed, man. Jeez.
Thank you.
Man. Yeah. Jason next.
Oh.
Yeah, could've.
You were really something when you were younger, Dave.
See, I flipped this last week. I said, what if
I knew I was gonna do
Spencer
that.
Is actually the older version of Dave?
Benjamin Button syndrome.
Oh, no.
Oh. I like that one even better.
It's a whole new can of worms.
Yeah. But he also, he teased in the essay he wrote at the end of the book that he is working on some other project solo as well, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, that guy, I don't know how he managed to get everything done on time that he's working on.
There was something online that I read about his schedule and all. I mean, he just writes so many books and draws. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And how he can do it all. He can watch hockey.
He can watch hockey. Yeah.
Well, it's not hockey season. That's why he's plowing all these up now.
That's true.
I don't know. During hockey season, he was cranking them out, too.
I just really recommend that. It's a great series.
I imagine I'll be some sort of deluxe hardcover collecting all 14 issues.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, that would be
pick
nice.
It up. It's worth your money.
Yes.
At Pittsburgh Comics.
Next, Darth Vader, number 20. This is part 2 of Vader's Fortress. Starts from leading off from the last previous issue, with Vader chasing down these two Inquisitors who let the Jedi Eeth Koth's wife escape in the last issue. And during this chase on Coruscant, he causes the death of the senator who the Emperor had plans for. So the Emperor is all mad about this. And he gives Vader Queen Amidala's royal starship from the Phantom Menace.
Cool ship.
Just to...
be a dick?
To be a dick. Yes, thank you. That's the words I was looking for. And...
Oh, here's your dead girlfriend's... Aw, too soon?
Quantum Woody, ending issue 12.
Oh, wow.
And Vader asks for his own planet, since the Emperor has...
Doesn't he have Mustafar?
This is when he wants Mustafar. Because Emperor offers Naboo and Tatooine, but...
who the hell wants Tatooine?
he could...
And I'm surprised that the Emperor offered Naboo, because he's from Naboo.
Well, that's true.
He's a dick, though.
He is, but, I mean, that's where he's from.
Like a major dick.
Yeah.
But Vader wants Mustafar. And that's the last page.
That's really where he was born.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think he wants to like drown.
He
in
can
this,
hold on to the hate song. That way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Vader has issues.
Yippee!
And lastly, I read issue 2 of Die.
Okay, I didn't get to that one yet. Okay.
Was it good, good, good?
It was bloody, bloody, bloody. And you know why they call it? I don't know if it's for me. I know why it's called die, because every page is blood. There's a gunshot to the head.
Yeah.
A punch. It was...
May I just ask one question?
Yeah.
What did you expect from Robert Kirkman on a book that was explicitly called Die?
Hey, it's not... I know. That's definitely my fault. I know. I own it. But
what comes with the dog statue? Well,
yep.
Colin, come on. John Wick action figure. No, I can't get it. It doesn't tell me the date it's coming out or the price.
But the story is about three brothers. They're assassins, and one has to...
Three identical brothers.
Three identical brothers, and one of them is has to rescue one of the other ones.
Yeah. Man, that was brutal.
What did you think of it, Spencer? Did you like it?
I mean, I liked it. Mm-hmm. Because you have the one brother captured, and there's another brother who's more like the Zen, living in the woods, cabin in the woods kind of guy who they bring in to try to help. And unbeknownst to them, the third brother is there who makes it there first, who... to the brother who got his nose cut off.
Nose cut off.
In the first issue, that's the brother that they're trying to rescue.
Right, okay.
But it doesn't go quite well for him by the end of the issue. And but, I mean, I like it. I don't know how long. Like, I don't see it going too long as a series, but I enjoyed it. I didn't have as much of a problem with, like, the blood and the gore and stuff with it, but I thought it was entertaining.
Okay. Yeah, it was brutal, like you said, but okay. That's all I got.
I have a question before I go into my books.
Sure.
Is Dan Aykroyd a redhead?
Mm-mm. No.
So why in the real Ghostbusters cartoon show from whenever I was a kid, why was Ray Stantz depicted as a straight-up ginger? I forgot about this until I turned the page right here, where it has Ray Stantz with straight-up red hair. Now I remember he was in the show. He was a straight-up ginger.
Diversity.
Oh, okay.
And Egon was blonde.
Egon was blonde, yeah.
Egon was blonde. You're asking why he was a ginger in the show and not...
Well, I'm just... Why didn't he look like Dan Aykroyd did?
Well, because then they would have had to pay for likeness.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I'll accept that answer.
I think that's the reason.
Action Comics.
No, I read that.
I liked it.
I did too. I'm liking the storyline.
Yeah, it's a very interesting storyline. He's tracking down what's going on with these, you know,
arsons.
Arsons in this criminal organization.
Yeah.
It looks like people are starting fires to try and distract Superman from other crimes going on because apparently
Red Mist? No, it's
Red Cloud.
Cloud.
Red Mist is from Kick-Ass, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
That's
McLovin.
McLovin, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, but based on her powers, Red Mist is not back off.
So then they figured out that during major fires that is when Superman is most distracted. So they were setting fires. This guy named Yogurt was setting fires. He gets dropped from high up. They think Superman is doing it. So people are like trying to frame Superman for these crimes. They continue causing distraction, throwing things off.
Because it made it so he couldn't be in the investigation because he was a suspect.
Yeah.
Spaceballs the flamethrower. Yogurt. That's...
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
Where did that come from?
That's when you said his name is Yogurt. Yeah. That's immediately where my mind went, was Yogurt from Spaceballs.
And then there are some weird, like, underhand things going on back at the Daily Planet with
this new...
that new reporter.
Yep.
And there's also, we didn't see the lifestyle reporter this time, the one who wanted to write a story about Lois Lane. But she gets mentioned quite a bit here. And then we find out that Lois has been talking to Cat Grant and sent her a copy of her finished book, which Clark didn't even know was finished, which leads him to find a possible Lois Lane undercover still on Earth.
Dun, dun, dun.
So it was a nifty twist ending.
Yep.
Superman looked pissed in that last page.
Yep.
But it was good.
Yes, I agree. I
really liked it. And the other book I read was Justice League Dark.
Yes.
I like this book a lot.
A lot.
It's really good.
Now, this is one of my little niche areas. I really, like, I love Hellblazer. Mm-hmm. So this is something that I love Swamp Thing. So this is really up my alley.
All the characters Fate, feel like they get a spotlight in the book. They all feel true to themselves.
Yep.
I was, like, when they first showed Dr. Fate in this book,
yep.
and it was Kent, I was like, oh, what happened to the kid from yep. before? And then yep. they brought him back.
They sure did. Yeah, but Zatanna, yeah, I love the team. I love Detective
the team
Jim.
Is great.
I loved him since 52.
I've always thought he was kind of a joke.
Right, but okay, like 52 made him a little more, but this was...
I never read that, but okay. just from hearing about I yep. always thought he was kind of a joke. But he actually like feels like a legit like part of this team.
Yep, yep. So I love the thing with the sword, though. Aren't they supposed to fight on their own? You know.
The weakest member of this team is Kirk Langstrom.
Yeah.
Just because they're not doing a whole lot of them. He was super violent when they were fighting.
Like right, they showed him more as the muscle in this one, yeah.
Yeah.
But I love the conversation with Constantine and Swamp Thing.
That was great.
Have you let them in on your secret?
Yeah.
You know, all this, you know, so just
He's
stuff
thinking
going
about,
on.
About retiring the mantle of right. Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
And joining the
But the,
trees.
The bad guys are there, you know, they're sitting outside, yeah, they're almost here, and then they show up at the very end. Yeah, just really, it's moving. Two issues in, and... Things are moving.
Yeah, it's a nice pace. It's a really good book.
Yep.
Surprisingly good
book. I've enjoyed that very much.
And the art's been great. And
yes.
Again, it really works on that new, like, the matte paper.
Yep.
And that's it. That's it
okay.
for me.
I have... Or do you want to go, Spencer? You go.
Yeah,
you
go. The Flash. This issue picks up right after... Or shortly after the last issue where Trickster all worded out on the strength force, put the whooping on Flash and Commander Cold from the future.
It's nice.
And,
you have to turn the page.
That's nice, too.
Sorry.
No, that is a nice statue. But
Sean Gordon Murphy, Batman Black and White, the second one. He already did one.
I had the first one. He did.
So
yeah, isn't his first one like him like using his hand or something, like jumping over?
First one's like doing like he's
on one hand
or something like that. But so they are able to finally track Trickster down, and the strength force is like really really messing with him, like he's not able to. Control it, so they take him back to Iron Heights to try to help kill him and get it under control. But the warden Wolf, I think is his last name, will only do it if Flash will go into this speedster like kind of cage that he devised to try to help. And to trap other speedsters to try to, you know, like, if you do this to help, see if this works, we'll try to help them. And, like, halfway through them trying to figure out what's going on, Trickster, freaks out again, and now it turns out that, both him and the Flash have... The speed force, and that's kind of like where the issue ends, is with them, with a hulked out Flash, and everybody like poking their guns at him. But another strong issue in the series. The story kind of feels like a little bit of a filler to they kind of get on to like the next big thing, but it's still good, and it's one of those one of the titles that are getting that new paper that just makes the art look really good on it. And then the only other one is the newest Amazing Spider-Man. I can't remember exactly I don't think anything really big too much happened in this issue. It was just more of with both Peter and Spider-Man how they're separated now. Running around, and Peter was able to find out that due because of the same experiments happened to the mice at the college that Connors is teaching at, that eventually the rat
the mice, both of them died because splitting them apart and made it so neither one of them would survive. So it seems like eventually that is what will happen to both Peter and Spider-Man. Other than Peter's trying to figure out a way to get them back together, Spider-Man doesn't want anything to do with it because he has the best of both worlds. He's swinging around, being funny, taking out bad guys, having a good time, to whereas Peter is, you know, he's not as smart. You know, he's lost some of his intelligence. He doesn't, you know, have any of the superpowers and stuff like that. So Spider-Man doesn't want to go back because, you know, he's like, you know, you're just mad because you got the raw deal. You didn't get any of the good stuff. But been liking the Amazing Spider-Man series since the new relaunch and creative team on it. They've had, you know, big shoes to fill following the last run of books. But I think they've been doing an okay job of trying to go more to his, like, the traditional roots of down on his luck, Parker, you know, not having any money and stuff like that. So, I've been enjoying it, and that's it. Everything else we pretty much talked about.
Okay, well, I got two more. Cold Spots, I believe is a Cullen Bunn one at Image. Pretty much like a straight-up horror book. These spirits kind of come back and deal with people, but when they're back, the area surrounding it gets super cold, and it's taking place in the summer, and just this one guy kind of just going around, and he goes to, I forget what he's, I think he's trying to go back and visit something from his past, and he needs to take ferry back to this island, and as he goes in, the room is all cold because the owner's being visited by a spirit and stuff. So it was just really, really quite creepy with these spirits and everything. But that's what Cold Spots refers to. So that was really cool. Just, you know, good old-fashioned horror story. Cullen Bunn's really pretty good with that. He's also doing Bone something that came out today.
Bone Size.
No, not Bone Size. But he's doing that one. I think that one's at Aftershock. Bone Parish. Thank you, Pat. Or Dave. God, I'll just name you all. That's like the dad going through all the kids until he gets to the right one. So no, just really good, but just a, you know, good old horror book. And then the other one I read was West Coast Avengers. It's fine. I'm not a fan of a lot of the characters. I'm not a big Gwenpool fan and stuff.
What?
I'm not. But it was good. It was fun. They did play with the fact that they have two Hawkeyes on the team, and they were trying to recruit some people, and some of the recruits were fun. There was Bread Man, who they kept calling Toast Man, and he got all sad.
Powdered Toast Man?
No, just Toast. But he's Bread Man. And then, you know, it starts off with L.A., downtown L.A. being attacked by sharks. And it was fun. And a giant Tigra doing an homage to the 50-foot woman. And then it ends with the introduction of a new character. So if you're you know, a first appearance guy, you might want to pick this up. Because at the end was the introduction of a new character named Brodok. And he's a
like MODOK,
but he's a bro.
Robot.
And instead of designed only for killing, it's designed only for kissing. So, but you know, he's like the surfer dude, but he's got a big head. Because so. Remember Gwenpool. If you remember Gwenpool's backstory, she worked for MODOK for a while. So now we'll see how it works with MODOK.
I unfortunately up to this point had no idea what her
you didn't
backstory
know that?
Was.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, so it was goofy. It was fun. It was fun. So that's it. That's all I read. I apologize. Never gets old. No, it doesn't.
That's all right. That's all right, Colin.
But,
what comes out next
week? Next week, we have even more stuff. So this week was a little light. We're back to a regular 4-week shipping schedule. So we have, I know that Pat has been dying for this one, but As Guardians of the Galaxy is coming out. Get it? Get it?
As Guardians of the Galaxy.
We have Avengers number 7, which is, I believe, starting the next story arc. Batman 54, definitely starting the next story arc. Border Town number 1, this is a new Vertigo book. Bully Wars. This is coming from Image. This is the next Scotty Young one that he's writing since I Hate Fairyland ended. Captain America number 3. Cosmic Ghost Rider number 3. Cover number 1. This is a new one from Bendis about a comic book professional who's doing conventions, being recruited by like the CIA to do stuff since they're crossing borders and stuff. They can do stuff. We have 4 new of the DC Essential action figures. We have Aquaman, Black Manta, Brainiac, and Superman. Those have actually been really popular. Dreaming number 1 is the next in the is the first one for solo book or individual book out of the Sandman universe. Elric White Wolf doing the Elric story. Family Graves is a new one coming too. Immortal Hulk number 5. We have James Bond Origin number 1. I know Dave's up for that one. Maybe. I know you like the James Bond books.
Isn't that Casino Royale?
I don't know.
No.
Or maybe it's him as a teenager getting recruited, working up from being 001 all the way to 007. No.
James Bond Jr.
Yes. We have Justice League number 6, or 7, sorry. Old Man Logan Annual. We have Silver Surfer Annual. Star Wars, we're getting Star Wars 53 and Dr. Aphra Annual number 2. Thanos Legacy number 1, new Thanos book. Woo! United States versus Murder, Inc. This is the next part of that story. This isn't a Bendis one that was at Marvel and is now at DC. Vampironica number 3. That's for Dave. Walking Dead 183.
I'm not allowed to read that anymore.
You're allowed, but when I think of Archie books, I think of Dave. So, Walking Dead the Next Trade number 30. New World Order is coming out.
Since that last one came out. That's number 3, you said?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, number 3. War Bears number 1. This is by... Oh, darn it, the lady that wrote Handmaid's Tale, Margaret Atwood. This is from her from Dark Horse, I believe.
Oh, I was hoping it was like, you know, the other side of the shirtless bear fighter.
War Bears, yeah. And then we have X-Men Gold 35, which I know this one is getting near the end of its run. So that is what's coming next week. Keep an eye out for details. My 12th anniversary party is going to be the first Saturday in September. I believe it's the 8th. And then on the 15th, we have Batman Day. And then I don't know what else is going on in September, but those are the two things starting off the month. So keep an eye out for stuff going on with those. And as always, you can find me at the store, PittsburghComics.com. Pittsburgh Comics on Facebook and at PGH Comics on Twitter and Instagram. I did fail the Instagram thing this week.
What
I
Instagram
do apologize.
Thing?
Well, it's on Twitter and Facebook when I post all the covers and the mm-hmm. solicits of the upcoming books because I got stuck here for 4 hours waiting for the gas company mm-hmm. and I was doing other stuff. And normally I do those when I'm sitting on the sofa on
you
Monday
could have done
mornings.
While you're standing in line at Kennywood.
You're true, true, but I didn't have Wi-Fi, so. It's bad enough the last couple months. We've gone over those damn kids. So, I think
don't
that's
forget about Book Club.
Oh, Book Club is this Friday, yes. We're doing Preacher Book 1. I got to read that probably tomorrow night.
It's 12 issues, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll get it read. I've been working on the order, getting the order
it's
done.
It's a quick read.
Yeah, yes, and I've read it. Section. I've read it several times, so. So, let's see. Josh, you weren't here last week. You can do it.
Well, that's a podcast.
Ooh, I like that. Smooth. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.